Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Will we ever really know what went on? I think we know to some extent, but I don't think we'll know it, I don't think we'll ever have a full picture. Even now when we're starting to see, Sunday was the strange announcement of no load shedding. Then we went up to stage five. Was it because somebody knew about the appeal court's decision that was going to happen the next day? Yes, I know it's a conspiracy theory, but at the same time, if Ramaphosa out the country, that happens often. We don't really know. We just don't really have a sense. Is, in fact, was this decision pushed to discredit Arthur Fraser further, given the fact that he was the main instigator in the Palapala story? These are things in South Africa that I'm not sure we'll ever get clarity on. What we do want to try and understand is what happens now. What was the basis for this decision and what happens now? Modidima Manya, who is the Executive Director, Chief Legal Advisor at the University of South Africa. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine, and I left the University of South Africa long ago.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yes, I'm now in private practice.
Cool. Good enough for us. We'll take it. Either way, what we would love more than that is just to talk about your view. What was the basis for this ruling and what happens now?
Yes, I think let's go back to what this is all about. This is all about government policy and legislation passed by Parliament. Safety that says people who have committed offences are convicted and sent to be corrected. And
right.
when that happens, you know, people go on parole. Now, that is regulated by law and there are conditions that must be met. In this particular instance, we are talking about what is called a medical parole, which is a form of parole. Now, that form of parole had problems in the past, which led to Parliament coming up with a new sort of set of rules on how it's going to be processed. And fundamentally, it introduced a 10% panel of medical practitioners. So these are like specialists in that field.
Right.
Those people are the ones who make an assessment and say, look, this fellow Manya is actually in a state where he should be given medical parole because of his medical condition. And they then make a recommendation to the commissioner. Now, the court is saying, look, these 10-person panel are actually the actual decision maker because their recommendation cannot be ignored. They are specialists. I mean, I'm not a specialist. And I get an advice of a specialist on what basis do I ignore it.
Right.
So that is what is at the heart of this. And I think this is where the question arises, on what basis did the commissioner decide that this person qualifies for medical parole when the body, the specialist body said, no, this person doesn't qualify.
Right. So what is likely to happen? Because now it's not up to the court to determine if he goes back to prison, but correctional services. Is that correct?
No. The court has ordered that he must return to prison.
Ah.
Very specific. What the court did, and this is what happens in a process like this one, which we call judicial review. Now, let me also add that the parliament passed a law called PADJA, Promotion of Administrative Justice Act. That law specifies what makes a government official decision lawful, rational, and reasonable. And that is the test which the court applies. So the court applies the law that Parliament has given them to say, when somebody has taken a decision to release somebody on medical parole, this is what you actually have to test. And they have tested and they found the decision to be unlawful and they set it aside. Now remember, somebody was released on parole, which is now found to have been unlawful. Now, the consequence of that unlawful decision cannot be legitimized because the actual cause of the release has been found to be unlawful. So the court said, go back to jail. But the court says, we are not going to do your job. When he's back in your facility, you must then decide how you want to deal with him.
And
you must do it within the law and exercise only the powers that you have. So I hear that people say, at least it's not going back to jail. In fact, in terms of the SCA judgment, he's supposed to report, I think, within 48 hours, because everybody who is in that situation reports within 48 hours. Now, the commissioner must go back. If the commissioner wants to release him on medical parole, all what the commissioner has to do is to comply with the law. If the commissioner wants to release him on any other form of parole, the commissioner must apply the law. Now, the court is very specific that the period which he was outside arising from this unlawful parole is not to be reckoned.
Yeah. What is the... How does this reflect on Arthur Fraser now? Because he made a decision that was unlawful. Is there a path here that can be followed towards holding him liable?
Yes, certainly. In fact, you know, there was an article in the paper, and it suggests that there were 100 medical parole recommendations in the 3 years that Arthur Fraser was there, and this was the first time that he took this decision. But you also recall that in some of the public statements that Arthur Fraser made, and I think some of the things he made under oath, he said, look, there was going to be a public chaos if this man is dead. But that's a nonsensical proposition. What it actually means is that firstly, you go to Section 195 of the Constitution, which expects public servants to uphold high ethical standards. High ethical standards include your compliance with the law, the loyal execution of the policies of the day. But you also go further and look at the law that this person has seemingly decided not to comply with the law. He has decided to give himself the powers that he doesn't in law have. I think there must be a proper criminal investigation. Of course, he's no longer an employee, so you can't discipline him. But I think there must be a proper criminal investigation. And why this is important, if you recall that we had a similar situation, it was not caused by him, it was not a correctional service, including the former president, involving the former president's financial advisor. And we were told that he was terminally ill. And the next thing you see, the terminally ill guy play golf and living a very happy life. Mm. And you ask yourself then, what happened to the many other people who would be eligible for parole if this law standard is used? Then it becomes discriminatory. It becomes somewhat favoritism, like we're doing a friend's favor. That undermines the integrity of the state. It undermines public trust and confidence in the decision-making by civil servants. But more importantly, civil servants must not become a law unto themselves. They must not become rogue, and they must be held to account. And this is partly why we have this many problems in our country at the moment. You would have read the State Chapter Commission report. You would have seen what people who were entrusted with legal responsibilities to serve the public, what they did. We're sitting with Eskom now. We experience low service. We understand that there are civil servants who had to do certain things or not do certain things, and they did what they were not supposed to do or didn't do what they were supposed to do. Now, it's a very serious matter, and I think it must be fully investigated.
So do you think that Arthur Fraser will be prosecuted?
Well, as I say, the first question is whether anybody has the appetite to actually investigate his conduct, because certainly there's something wrong that happened. If that happens, then of course, remember Arthur Fraser as well, we may, and I have this address view, but he is still entitled to his procedural rights. Now, I expect a proper investigation, not victimization. If he has committed an offense, I expect the National Prosecuting Authority to apply its mind, and if there's a basis to charge him and prosecute him. I expect the court to listen to his evidence objectively. If the court finds that he's guilty, he must be convicted and sentenced, and he must be treated like any other person who would appear in a criminal court charged with an offense.
Absolutely right. It is 8:44. That is where we leave it. What do you think? 34519 or 061-895-1019. Do you think realistically Jacob Zuma is going back to prison? That was Modidima Manye, who is a legal expert.